Blog Talk Radio.
We're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
We'll be right back.
evening. As we creep ever closer to 1,500 shows.
Damn, that's a lot of shows.
Anyway, good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome as we get ready to sit down and commiserate with the brethren and sisters here at Soul Tree Radio in the Raw. Samuel Smackenberg and BJ Honeycomb, and as always, it is good to have you in the house. Soul Tree Radio in the Raw, proudly sponsored by BAFNNewsroom.com and the assassin of the Black Athlete Sports Network. You know, all the good shit. The who, what, when, where, why, and how. Right now, at www.basnnewsroomallonephrase.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network, wherever they may be. Radio Reggie in Richmond, Virginia. Ricky Hampton Sr. in Detroit. Mike Robinson in Oakland, California. Not far from my man, G. Pat Freeman, the mighty Oba, doing Oba things in Western New York. And, of course, the rest of the gang when they chime in. You hear any noise? It's me and the girls and boys. So, of course, while he's in there rattling pans and stuff like that, getting his dinner ready, I think, is my man G. What's up, brother?
If you hear any noise, it's just me and the boys.
Good man. That's right.
Michael.
Yes,
there's an article today on Deadspin.
Mm-hmm.
It's about Geo Smith.
Yep.
The music guy on Deadspin is right on the head.
Yeah.
What he wrote was one of the best articles I've seen in a while.
Deadspin does good work. Yes.
Yeah, well, this guy really, he nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
He nailed it because what he was saying was, Geno Smith is a good quarterback.
Right.
You have a rat, Bernie Hay, whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
Who keeps now playing black mm-hmm. quarterbacks.
Yep,
now,
get the
what
D card.
You know, did, but I don't know. He
mm-hmm.
came in the game, and he drove Seattle to sit down, get close to the game, and think
yes,
ahead.
Yep.
It wasn't his fault that he fumbled. You know why? Because
why?
He tripped over his own player.
Yeah,
as
that's true.
This writer,
but they don't care. Gary, you
no,
know they don't
writer,
care about that.
This writer made it very clear. And that's good writing. When you get right down to the facts, that's
exactly
good writing. That's why I like this article.
That's journalism. I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. But you know, They're not going to worry about a little fact like that when they want to slam somebody.
Oh.
And before we go any further, let's let everybody know who we are, please.
I can't do that anymore, guys. That's one of the things I lost.
Oh, wow.
I got to redo it again. I got to find it again.
That's right. Oh, so we still got gremlins with that? Okay.
I got to find it.
All right. Well, then let's just fast forward and get to the good part. We are BASF. We are BASF.
thank you.
We got that covered. But, you know, back to Geno. Geno Smith has been up against it ever since he came into the league. First, he was quarterback of the Jets, and he wasn't white enough for them. You know, he went 8-8 in his first year, which ain't bad for a rookie. And then, of course, the Jets went to shit, and they went 3-10, and Geno was gone. But he managed to stick around. He's been in the league for a while. He basically was cheaper than Tavares Jackson. So he ran basically Russell's offense, and they knew that, okay, yeah, we can trust him with this. And now he's proven they can trust him with it. Because after Russell got hurt in the first quarter, he managed to manifest 17 points all told. He got 10 points, and it was a game they should have won. Now, playing a full game, he got 20 points, and they lost in overtime. So they're starting to feel him rhythm-wise a little bit more now, and now they got Jacksonville coming in, or they got to go to Jacksonville. Long story short, they know they can trust Geno. Geno got he got 100 yards from Alex Collins, and they played well, except for that last turnover. Geno didn't turn over the ball. So Seattle, they understand the depth of what's going on, and I stated in my evaluation that Seattle has to win at least two games while Russell's out, at least two. You know, if they win two at worst, by the time Russell's back, they're 4-5. And that's manageable. Russell's worked under more dire circumstances before, so I don't see a problem with that. And we all know that being in a situation where you got to be the man has been uplifting for certain quarterbacks. Teddy Bridgewater was first General Bridgewater, then he got done. And the next thing you know, he's carrying a clipboard. But when Breeze gets hurt, Teddy goes 5-0. I know he was making an impression because my little sister Jenny said, Teddy got it covered. He got the who that's covered. I was like, all right, I like that.
Michael,
and Teddy
I just got word.
Yes.
The Seattle Seahawks are claiming Jacob Eason of the Washington Indianapolis Colts. What are they doing?
That's a good question, G. Let me ask Tony. Maybe he knows. And I'll ask Reggie, too, in that case. Gentlemen, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes, sir.
What are they doing?
Pete Carroll is an ignorant slut.
Yes, he is. Yes, I'm glad you said that. Pete, you ignorant slut. I have never liked Carroll. And I've made it clear, but I will state again for the record, if it please the court, that Carroll is one of those motherfuckers that tries to be cute. And I've said it often. Cute does not win football games. Cute might allow you to do something slick every now and then. But football is about knocking the snot out of somebody for the most part. And you're not going to get away with cute very long. Normally, cute backfires against your ass. Gentlemen, are you in agreement?
Oh, absolutely. I think the difference between the 70s Steelers and Cowboys was that the Steelers always grinded meat. The Cowboys, for all their talent, and whatever, they would get, a little, for lack of a better word, artsy-fartsy, and I think it's what kept them from winning more Super Bowls. Pittsburgh was more around, you can make the argument in a sense, so 70 Cowboys teams may have been more talented, but they just couldn't, when it would come down to, you look at Super Bowl 10 and Super Bowl 13, while the rosters are basically somewhat dissimilar. It was only a 3-year difference, but the biggest difference was that the Steelers always grind and the Cowboys always was a little bit more of a finesse sort of thing. And I think that
the
still holds true today. Maybe even more so. And see, what's sad is, I remember back then they used, there was emphasis on the running back. Now, you do that now without a running back, it leaves a lot to be desired. One of the things that's turned me off about the modern NFL is that they treat the running back, like the last dodo. But, thank God there are real men like Derrick Henry that remind
you
every day
Mr. Earl Campbell.
I think he's more Jim Brown than Earl. quite frankly.
I don't know. The way he runs that chest, I don't know.
Well, it's only well, that's what I'm saying. But, well, see, remember, you know, Jim did his punishment too. See, you know, Jim was like a man among boys, and plus he had the speed to break it. Now, we've seen close to that. You know, one of the biggest tragedies to me in NFL history was Chuck Muncy. I thought Chuck Muncy was going to be the living embodiment of Jim Brown, but unfortunately, his personal life got in the way of it. I'll even go even further. One of the more underrated guys from back in the day, William Andrews for the Falcons.
Oh yeah, I hated William Andrews. Oh man.
Oh yeah.
When he played our Eagles, he used to kill them.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, hey, the AFC. Well, the NFC West would beg to differ. They hated him first.
I know that's right. Yeah.
Hey, Mike, I know y'all rolling with football, but just to look at the Boston Celtics and see a brother coaching on the sideline, I just can't get used to it, man. I mean, I think about the city of Boston and their racism.
Well, why not? Bill Russell was there. Casey Jones was there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we've seen Casey Jones. We've seen Sam.
I know. But I just can't get used to it. You know, one of the historic franchises, and again, I apologize for taking out kilter with the football, but I'm just saying, if we know the history of the racist-ass piece of trash up there in Boston, known as their fans, between hockey and basketball and football, these are the most racist, vile people. Don't talk about baseball, how they run the baseball players out, including
Reggie. All right, Reggie. Well,
unreal.
Reggie, we'll take storied franchises for 500, Alex. Now, for a long time, for a long time, we referred to you as Cowboy Reggie. Now,
yes, sir.
Tony just talked about the difference with the grinding meat of the Steelers to maybe the beating meat of the Cowboys because they were trying to be too cute. But what made you a Cowboy fan and what changed your mind about the Cowboys?
Well, my cousin Benny Bonds on my mom's side played, and also Gil Brandt used to come to – I had the pleasure of seeing Gil Brandt at Virginia Union University back in the day when they drafted Herb Scott Root and our good friend Butch Johnson used to call Herb Scott Root 68. So he said, I don't get that prompt, I'm going behind Root 68. And Herb Scott is in the Dallas Cowboys Ring of Honor. And you had a lot of, I mean, from Winston-Salem to Union to a plethora of HBC schools, much like the Pittsburgh Steelers, Cowboys were there looking at our HBCUs, and I really like that about them as well as the Kansas City Chiefs. But, when Jerry Cracker Jones, I'm doing my Shout Me to God, when that cracker, Jerry Jones, showed his cracker ass and said that, I don't give a damn about you black folks, especially your movement. I said, I'm sorry, but this is personal to me. Enough's enough. Everybody else can be Cowboy fans. I'm not telling them not to do it, but I choose to dissociate myself with the enemy that's doing everything he can to be in line with somebody like Donald Trump and others who try to do a coup on this country to take it back to the good old days of white supremacy and racism. Just keep it 100.
You know, we got to give Dallas credit in one aspect, though. While the AFL was drafting all the HBCU talent, Dallas kept an eye on that. And made selections from the HBCU.
Elizabeth City.
Mike, as an aside, it's kind of sad that Gil Brandt's not in the Hall of Fame, to be quite honest.
That's a great point.
Yeah, he is.
That's right.
Gil Brandt's in the Hall of Fame. He's in the Hall of Fame a couple of years ago.
Oh, he is? Oh,
yeah,
okay. I stand corrected. Because I'm going to tell you, if there's somebody, you understand my name.
What took so long? Like Bill Nunn.
Gil Brandt was probably underrated all those years because, again, like you were sort of alluding to, the Cowboys were sort of the head of the game because they, you know, if I remember correctly, I could be wrong, they were the first ones that had their own personal scouting system.
They did. That's right.
Yeah.
They were first.
Yeah. So. So, you know, I give them their due in that. And see, it goes back to sort of what Reggie has said, because, you know, basically everything now is done through the Jones boys being, you know, Daddy J and number one son, Steven. And while they've had their, you know, while they've had some decent drafts along the way, they, you know, it's nothing compared to what Brand, I mean, what speaks well about the Cowboys was the year they played the Steelers in that first Super Bowl, was that Super Bowl 10? That team was known, if I remember correctly, they were known as the Dirt, you know, they had 12 draft picks that year, Herb Scott being one of them, and they all made the team. And they were known as the Dirty Dozen because, you know, it was supposed to have been a rebuilding year for the Cowboys, if I remember correctly, that season. But because of the drafting with Gil Brandt and Tex Rams, they were able to, you know, get to the Super Bowl after a couple of down years. But yeah, it's and see, now everything is so different now. But the funny thing is, there's more scrutiny. But there's less, there are less, to me, the draft has gotten worse because now guys, you know, you don't have the diamonds in the rough. They basically don't want to, you know, they don't give the HBCU players the same look that they had back in the day. You know, they'll take the third lineman from Vanderbilt before they'll take a top player from, say, like a Bowie State. Or any HBCU,
that's the difference. That's shit. I mean, Winston, South Carolina State had the man that played for the Indianapolis Colts, the linebacker, rookie of the year. And they said that was a terrible pick by the Colts. Only thing young man did, Batavia, I think Batavia was rookie of the year. Unreal. And what's the defensive back telling me that went to Howard?
Antoine Bethea. All he did was play twelve years. Go to the Super Bowl and go to the Pro Bowl a few times.
And has a Super Bowl ring too. Has a ring.
They cheapen what the HBCUs do because they know they can save their money from day three, if at all, and they'll invite a bunch of them in as free agents, like camp meet. So they'll beat the shit out of each other for the minimum salary instead of being given their proper due. And so I'm not surprised when a player like the brother on the Colts, the linebacker, goes out there and lays the wood.
Darius Leonard.
He's laying it for all. Thank you. He's laying the wood for all the HBCUs. Because he's like, so I'm a minimum wage motherfucker, huh? Yeah, take this. And I love his approach to that sort of thing because that's what the HBCUs used to do before there was a whole lot of lights and cameras.
And you know what? To the Colts' credit, they had another guy like that just before he got there, Robert Mathis for A&M. Matter of fact, I believe they've either retired his number or they're going to put him on their Ring of Honor, I believe, or what have you.
But
the Colts have had a few great HBCU players over the years, of course. You know, as Reggie mentioned, our buddy, rest in peace, Johnny Sample.
Yes, sir. Well, gentlemen, as our investigation continues, because we don't sleep on this nonsense, it is time to go back into our special CSI investigative situation, as in Cracker-ass-cracker scene investigation. I take the case of one Jeff Fisher. This scumbag motherfucker is responsible for all kinds of assholery and scumbaggery. Here I make the case. I called to the stand Elmer Fudd's favorite player, Robert Griffin III. In Griffin's rookie season, he passed for 3,200 yards and ran for 815 yards, garnering him Offensive Rookie of the Year. So he counted for 4,000 yards, a 9-6 record, and single-handedly seemingly carried Washington into the playoffs. As tight as Exhibit B, one Colin Kaepernick came into midseason and ran the ball for San Francisco at an average of 6.1 yards per carry. And you know, in the playoffs, he whooped Green Bay's ass with 181 yards on the ground. So here now we have two quarterbacks who came out of nowhere and started decimating defenses. How to solve the problem? The NFL owners, in their dick dastardly of modes, and for those who wanted to know, I say dick dastardly because this motherfucker was created as a cartoon character, but he was based on a movie character, Jack Lemmon, who played Professor Fate in the movie The Great Race. And that is why we refer to Dick Dastardly, this the motherfucker we talking about, where he got the inspiration. But you have Kaepernick and you have Griffin, literally running wild because the option gave them the ability to do that and not be touched. So when they went into camp, Jeff Fisher, he's on the competition committee, and he starts scrambling things around, making it clear that, yes, you can hit this motherfucker. And did they get hit? Yes, they did. From there, Robert Griffin III was whittled down to next to nothing. He had no support system, none from his team, definitely none from his coach, and none from the organization, and he almost disappeared into nothing. Kaepernick, well, we know what happened to Kaepernick eventually. But the whole point was they wanted to shut this down because there were no white quarterbacks running that option the way that Griffin and Kaepernick were. I called to the stand Mr. McClain. Mr. McClain, do you confirm the issues involving Messrs. Kaepernick and Griffin?
Oh, absolutely. And you still don't have any white quarterbacks that do that. You know, they keep trying to sell us Lonesome Roads down in New Orleans, but no. He just, matter of fact, ironically, he just got concussed a couple of weeks ago trying to be a wide receiver, but that's a whole other story. Well, you know, thank goodness he hasn't gotten to, Baltimore is one of Baltimore's favorite sons as of yet, because also as an aside, remember, he had Vince Young, who was basically doing that, and he made it a point to make sure he got him out of the league. But that's another that's how, say it with me, Dick Dastardly he went. In regards to that. But see, even with that, the sons of Griffin and Kaepernick are still there. We see it with Mr. Hurts. We see it with Mr. Fields. To a certain extent, we see it with Teddy, although Teddy doesn't move. Teddy's more, staying in the pocket. And of course, the guy who probably takes it and basically won an MVP because of it, Lamar Jackson. But see, that's the great thing. If you look back through NFL history, you had guys like Randall Cunningham who just took it to a whole different level. Mike Vick and all those guys. And ironically, the aforementioned Mr. Gruden tried to change him when he was at the height of his game, and see the thing is that same mentality is still there because it's funny. I don't think we give John Harbaugh enough credit because here's the thing. I have forgotten who Baltimore's, it was Joe Flacco, I'm sorry. he had, you know, he had won a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco, and he was up at the when he went with Jackson.
Yeah.
He didn't turn back. You know, we've seen where guys go with the black quarterback and they'll play games with him, what have you. The one thing you have to give Jim Harbaugh, and think of all the stuff that's been said before, during, and after Lamar got into the league. And it's still being said even after that.
Mm-hmm.
Harbaugh, to his credit, has never wavered. Now, again, I'm not calling him, Dr. Martin Luther Harbaugh, mind you, or Frederick Douglass Harbaugh. But I'm just saying,
mm-hmm.
he has been unwavering in his support and in his whatever. He's
right.
got his back. He's had his back
mm-hmm.
from the time he brought him in the first time to now. That has not wavered. Now, I don't know what about, the only criticism I really had was that they sort of took baby steps in the sense of they didn't really gave him enough weapons or what have you. Now this year it's been different where they literally, you had that stretch in training camp where the running backs were literally dropping dead in practice. And,
mm-hmm.
thankfully it's been sort of, it's evened up. You know, I mean, we saw Le'Veon Bell running for them the other day. But that's the thing. He is not flinched under Jackson.
No.
He has been there for him from day one to day now.
Mm-hmm. And this brings up the point about what makes an MVP. My contention has always been, if this guy ain't on your squad, for whatever reason, how does the team do?
Mm-hmm.
We've seen Dobbins, who is considered to be ready for a breakout year, at running back, gone. Justice Hill, another important cog, gone. Another brother, 35 is his number. The name I ain't sure,
mm-hmm.
gone.
Mm-hmm.
But in spite of all of that, Baltimore picks up Ladavius Murray off the scrap heap. They go stash Le'Veon Bell on practice squad, bring him in. Next thing you know, you got a running game. And while it may not be as smash mouth as Tennessee, General Jackson knows how to deliver. He is basically a point guard when they run, because he dishes out to the right people at the right time. His
mm-hmm.
timing is better than that.
Mm-hmm. And the funny thing, Mike, is, Baltimore over the years has always been known for their defense, but I think it's safe to say right now that the offense is carrying the defense. And it's not like their defense is terrible, mind you, but, it's not an elite defense. It's not a bend but don't break, but they're not, and see, fairly or unfairly, they're always going to be compared to their Super Bowl teams, especially that first one that did as good an imitation. They tried to do their best 85 Bears impersonation. But if they're able to at least hang, because see, that division this year is interesting because, truth be told, even though the Steelers are probably on borrowed time, the team that may be sort of the wild card in this, literally, are the Bengals.
Oh yeah, Cincinnati is playing very well. We got the professor in the mix, and what they're doing is they've brought balance back to their attack. They used to be just straight up pass happy, but with Mixon, who has been in there a couple of years now, he's hitting his prime. Jamar Chase makes the argument that LSU might be wide receiver university because he's got immense talent, and they're holding up. So when we do all of this, it's adding up to the fact that the Bengals, unlike the Lions, are not putty cats. they have real claws and real teeth, and they'll be able to ball. But what I do like about Baltimore is they're old school, smash mouth. We will knock the shit out of you if we get the opportunity to do so, and we'll do it cleanly. If we see the ball and we get a chance to take the ball, we'll take the ball from you. And you can't help but love a team where everybody's on code. And Baltimore seems to be very on code, which is really pissing the NFL off, because they don't want to give Jackson any credit. They want him to be perceived as the dumb nigga. They want him to be perceived as the athlete. And you know when these motherfuckers say athlete, they're saying nigga the same fucking way. And that's why I root for Baltimore to do damage, because they've beaten and they've overcome every obstacle that's in front of them. They had Mahomes. They had everybody else who's come up against them, and they're going to whip their ass too, it seems.
We've seen, well, you've seen the extremes the last 2 weeks. You know, you had the great comeback a couple Mondays ago when they were down at home. And then, now let's face it. Everybody was sort of salivating when San Diego came in there Sunday, especially coming off of a Monday night win. And you know, historically, big Monday night wins usually wind up being huge letdown Sundays. But they didn't, you know, they put the pedal to the metal. I mean, they dismissed the Chargers.
Yes, they
just
did.
Missed that game was over.
That was old-fashioned, but I enjoyed that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they've shown you now, and so they've shown you that. Because see, the whole thing used to be, well, if they were behind, they wouldn't be able to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that myth has been blown. He still really can't pass the ball. Well, he's passed for like almost 700-800 yards for the last 2-3 weeks. So that sort of, you know, there goes another old wives' tale and everything.
No doubt.
Because you know, the Chargers are becoming one of those anointed teams, and they are a decent team. I mean, I think all of us actually like Herbert. Even with all the over hype. But with that being said, you know, if not for a couple of flubs in Vegas, they would have at least one less loss. But they're not going anywhere. I'm anxious to see when they do play Cincy, because they're not mirror images, mind you, but they're similar in the sense of, you know, they're still on the ball.
Yeah, their
numbers
are similar.
I know one thing: a certain team in Cleveland done dropped like the Hindenburg, a certain quarterback.
If we add all this up, I think when it comes down to one-on-one matchups, as far as teams are concerned, the Ravens will rule the pit, and that's where you make your money, Professor. Good evening, and why don't you come in and give us some more on this, because the Ravens look very much like what your Steelers used to look like.
Back in the day.
Well, actually, I haven't watched the Ravens, or as I call them, Cleveland East.
that is true, Cleveland
East. I really haven't had the time to really watch and, you know, break down film. And all that kind of stuff. I did get a chance in between naps to watch the game Sunday night, and I saw the Steelers doing some flashes. And everybody's talking about this young man from Alabama. But in my humble opinion, he's no Rocky Blyer. He's sure ain't no. He's chilly, you know, Harris. I was more impressed with number 29, the backup. He was the one who got, you know, he was the one that came in when they had to have short yardage. He came in. and their line is coming around. Because, see, everybody look at they lost, they lost a tackle, lost a guard. That's all cool. The real mm-hmm. loss they had was a center.
Yeah.
And my son at 5 years old recognized, telling nothing happened to that man snapped the ball.
True.
And after talking, I said, yeah, you're right. And then I explained to him that not only does he snap the ball, he said, he basically sets up a thing once the defense mm-hmm. get in place. So, when I hear these people talking about, well, so-and-so, he's a good center, but, he's not necessarily all pro, or he's not necessarily Hall of Fame material. When you
mm-hmm.
see a team, whether it was, and whether it was the Steelers, Mike Webster is in, it should be, Ponce should be in. But when you see these teams going to the Super Bowl and winning really good, and few sacks, it's all about the center. Now, I know all the glamour goes to His Highness, the quarterback. But then, by the same token, when have you ever seen a quarterback throw a block?
Yeah.
I mean, quarterbacks open holes. Matter of fact, half the time, let me calm down. Half the time, the quarterback is a problem much more so than the center. Because the center is making calls, and, when there's an adjustment, if the center doesn't adjust, I don't care what the quarterback does. If the center don't make
mm-hmm.
the right call, that's his ass.
That's right. That's right.
And I think a lot of times, we get too much like fans sometimes, and as fans, mm-hmm. Fans aren't always necessarily the brightest bulb in the box. Wink,
true.
Wink. And because of that, you end up with people, they're running the ball now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they are running the ball. Why? Okay. Can you, and I always put it this way, being that I'm still a fan, and I'll call out a team that had, all kinds of really good linemen. That
mm-hmm.
team from Texas with the star on their
yep.
head.
Mm-hmm.
That, and see, everybody look at that star and say, that's because they played the Steelers and got the hell knocked out of them. That's where that comes from. Okay, let's just go ahead and settle that. And then going from there, you're looking at what the offensive line was able to do against them, whether
mm-hmm.
it was that flex defense, they made them get rid of that flex defense. You had the most undersized, offensive line in Super Bowl history, with
mm-hmm.
still the first three or four Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
And the second, the third and fourth Super Bowl, what did they do? They took the tight end
yep.
and moved into the tackle.
That's right, Sam Davis.
Larry Brown.
Larry Brown, 79.
Sam Davis was a left guard.
57, that's right. Here's one thing.
From a school that most people can't find to this day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, here's a wrinkle that I saw in Baltimore's offense that made me smile. Now, we already know Tennessee likes to bash with that badass Henry. But Baltimore had a player, 42. His 42 was in Baltimore purple. His name was Rickard. Apparently, he is 6'5 and 300 pounds. And he was gashing Los Angeles. He was gashing them. He made holes so big. Barbara Bush could get 5 yards running backwards in high heels, butt naked in a bow tie. That brother was tearing shit up.
Thank you for that.
Florida, all of them must say they ain't played the Steelers yet, but go ahead.
Right, but you know what I'm saying. That's how you're supposed to. When the time that Omar Epps has been there, coach, the Ravens and the Steelers are always playing old school slapping hats football. And we love it. But we don't see that anymore because that's really not what the league wants everybody to see. They wanted to be like almost rough touch and last team gets the ball, gets the ball. You know, the scores have gone up. The stats have gone up because not everything counts. It's not so much that you throw for 300 yards. Gambling odds say the prop bet is Fred Whitted will throw for 270 yards. If you think he's going to throw more than 270, you win $200. If he throws less than 270, you don't get as much because that's what you expected anyway. So that's what these prop bets. Yeah, Gary, the prop bets are killing everybody. I spoke with Patrick, and before Patrick comes on, he dropped this little tidbit on me. Do you know, last month, New Jersey made $1 billion in betting.
Oh, God, stop it!
Yeah, yeah. I sent you the press release for that, Mike. You guys should have
yes,
it in
you
your
did.
Email.
Yeah.
Okay,
$1 billion.
Okay, guys. If New Jersey is making $1 billion, Las Vegas is making $3.5 million.
But Gary, here's the point. They're not. That's the thing. They're not. Jersey has literally caught up and passed Vegas in regards to that. And
you don't have to fly.
Yeah. I mean, now put it this way. There's still going to be people that will whatever, and they're still going to use their logarithms and all that other stuff. But when it comes to, I guess, the volume, right now, Jersey has the advantage. I don't know how much more they're ahead of Vegas. But it's not your granddad's Vegas anymore.
I can tell you guys now that
you have more of these states and ironically, the hoity-toity town of the hoity-toity state of Connecticut isn't that far behind.
Oh shit! See, I can tell you guys on firsthand reconnaissance. I've walked that boardwalk down there in Atlantic City. I've been in and out of the casinos, and I'm telling you, the action has been unreal. They have books set up at all the major casinos, from Ocean to Borgata, down to Showboat, down to all the others that matter, Tropicana. They're all in it. Everybody's got a book. Yes, sir.
Michael, are you trying to insinuate that what we're seeing on TV, I guess we could say starting tomorrow night going into Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, we're watching fantasy football.
Got that right.
As I have insinuated before about fixing games, you know. The flag from nowhere.
Yep.
And all those other little interesting tidbits.
That's right.
And I want to get this out now before I forget it again. Now I think his name is Mr. Jackson. He can pass, but he also runs and all that kind of thing.
He sounds familiar.
But please, somebody tell him, okay, Simone Biles couldn't do her tumble because she couldn't pick up a point. He couldn't either. He almost got, literally, he put himself in a very negative position. He tried that flip into the end zone.
Yep.
He's lucky nobody hit him.
He stuck the landing, though.
He had to stick the landing. He almost broke his down mm-hmm. neck.
No shit. I think the Russian judge was going to be great anyway.
I want him healthy when the Steelers play Cleveland East. And so
I know that's right.
So none of them shenanigans and all that other stuff that happens. And, because PBS locally, PBS has been doing this documentary, showing this documentary on Muhammad Ali. And one of the things I really hate about boxing and sports like that, and even sports in general now, is everything on the field, on the court, gets hashed mm-hmm. out by people who ain't playing, who ain't breaking a sweat, they're making too many decisions relative to the mm-hmm. game, and
yep.
You see stuff like General Wilson in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. called the most asinine, probably the most asinine play ever. And then you have a quarterback for who was that, for Denver? Whoever he was quarterback for, Manning. Now we know Manning, and don't get me wrong, still a fan. I'm glad mm-hmm. we won, mm-hmm. but we were the projected winner, and to see mm-hmm. Peyton Manning miss the opening snap.
Yep.
Come on.
First play of the game, and the money bet on that one play, and became a millionaire. Get out of here.
Well, Gary, no, bring that, run that back, because with all the prop bets, the most important bet to many people is the first score in the game. And we know that if Manning scores on a pass to Wayne or whomever, then the odds are lower. A safety as the first score in the game has got to be somewhere in the realm of 25 to 50 to 1. As the first score, yeah. You know it.
No,
it's got to be at least that high.
Has to be crazier odds than that.
Yeah, well, I'm being polite. All I'm saying is, let's just say for argument's sake, a safety is a 50-1 shot as the first score in the game.
Mm-hmm.
We know that people come down to bet. We know the whales come in. I ain't talking Moby Dick. I'm talking about the cats who make seven figures mm-hmm. down on the bet. So imagine. All right, just for cheap sake, $100,000 bet that a safety will be the first score in the Super Bowl
mm-hmm.
at 50-1. Add that up, cha-ching.
I think it's only happened twice, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And we have more than 50 Super Bowls, right?
Exactly. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There you go. So you add that money up, you go to the pay window, and you go to fuck home. At least I do. I get in the limousine, and I'm out. The money is made. And that's what we're looking at here, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
They don't
mm-hmm.
care. The money will be made,
and
the payroll will be met.
So how much money did Mike? When the umpire missed them calls, the balls and strikes.
By the way, Mike,
mm-hmm.
Moby's mother called. She'd like for him to be referred to as Richard, by the way. Just to let you know.
Yes, okay. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, that shit was funny.
But
Mike, again,
yeah.
the umpiring and that so-called game, man, somebody made some money, or either that umpire owed some whales or fishes or whatever. Because I could not believe
you're not wrong.
And now the Astros won today 9-1. Talking about a swing in 24 hours.
Remember, the Red Sox won the previous two games big. So,
yeah.
you know, I'm not saying, but I'm just saying.
So I guess saying. The Astros use the umpire to cheat now, huh? So they're going to bring the Astros use the umpire to cheat now and try to bring
no,
Dusty
no,
Baker
no.
in?
Well, look, here's the thing. I'm going to further refer to the Boston baseball team as the WBs, as in whining bitches, because when they've gotten when they've gotten calls to go against them, they're like, hey, you know, hey, that's the breaks of the game. That's what it happens, and
yes,
you know, it happens against them. And mm-hmm. and you know they're ready to call. You know I liked them better when they were the humble whining Red Sox. Now they're the arrogant whining Red Sox because mm-hmm. they've won some World Series now. But the one common theme is that they're still whiny bitches.
Since we walk on that side of the road. Somebody please explain to me. Saturday, I think it was, I had a chance to watch in between football and other sports we were having to monitor on these training exercises.
Okay.
Anyway, I watched the opening of the game on one of the games. And I noticed that at the table with the guys who are doing the intro for the game, do you all was it just me, or were there more dark people of color on up there with Big Poppy, the guy that played Anyway, I think I saw three or four black guys up there. And they showed the starting lineup for both teams, and there were four black guys up there doing the play-by-play. I have my prejudices, and I know things like that. And I was like, darn.
They're trying to compensate for the lack of covering on the field.
Mike, the real question here is, now we know A-Rod is Hispanic, but what does he identify as, I guess, is what we're
saying.
Exactly.
We got to give A-Rod a little credit, because when he was first being manipulated, you know, and when he went to the Yankees, Major League Baseball wanted him to be the grand spick. And he was going to represent all the, you know, the light skin, bright skin. I can speak Espanol and English and be a man and be an ambassador for Major League Baseball. And when that didn't work out, they savaged his black ass. They went after him Dave Chappelle style with that 60 Minutes piece. And he was never the same after that. And remember, even when he was under siege, he helped the Yankees win a World Series. I mean, he pretty much... He was raking by himself and winning that series for them. And how did they pay their gratitude to him? Well, you didn't pass that Negro, Barry Bonds. So fuck you, hey, Papangu. And that's why A-Rod is finally getting some get back. He's comfortable.
And
the baseball is our
problem now. You know what that problem is?
Yeah.
There ain't nobody in sight. They can pass Barry Bonds' record. Nobody.
They see those numbers and they get railed every time. I don't care what anybody says. No one ever in baseball, to my my recollection, and my life, ever had a season like Barry
did when
he was hitting over 1,000
to 7,000.
Mm-hmm.
I look this up. Anybody who does this, they have to get 55 home runs a year.
We know. We know they'll try, but see, they can't dismiss his excellence. And that's the same to an effect regarding Jackson and some of the other field generals. Barry Bonds would get maybe one pitch to hit, And to their annoyance, he would hit it far. Mm-hmm. And when you can walk somebody with the bases loaded on purpose because you don't want him to hit the ball, that's a bad motherfucker, as Landlin would say. And that's what Barry Bonds was. That season, nobody wanted to fuck with Barry. I mean, he had every aspect of the game covered.
And Michael,
you know how to run the bases. Yes.
And remember, you know, there are these people who try to stipulate with the asterisk for various players pertaining mm-hmm. to the steroid situation.
Yep.
But remember, the one thing about baseball that sets it apart from other games with when it comes to steroids and things like, and enhancements, if you mm-hmm. can't hit,
thank you.
It don't matter if you got steroids.
That's
if
right.
you can't
hit, yeah.
But if you can't hit the ball, that's
right.
Other than the long range problems that comes with steroids and stuff like that, in my humble
mm-hmm.
opinion, it don't mean that. excuse me. I think
yeah.
baseball was right to a degree because they looked the other way when it came to the NFL did too, but they looked
yeah,
the
they
way
all
when
did.
It came to
all the mm-hmm. all the sports did.
That's right. They did. Mm-hmm.
They looked the other way when it came to steroids for a while.
Yep.
But you know when I heard different ones, I said, well, no, if you can't hit 300, you can't hit home runs because
right.
you're not hitting the ball. You literally cannot take, you can't take a ball. And I was a pretty decent hitter. You cannot
mm-hmm.
hit the ball and put it over the fence if you can't get it past first base or second base. So,
mm-hmm.
and you got to and see if you don't have what they call a sweet swing, which means
yep.
you can catch the ball, stop it, and then basically use
very
it as a throw over the thing.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
You know
very
all
cute.
that nonsense about because you know you go back and think, when you think about it. You know, do you remember there was a guy named Nehu Rodney, who I think he played for Cleveland or somebody. Anyway, he was a good home run hitter. Problem
mm-hmm.
was he hit 242. He was a catcher.
Right.
But, you know, he could, hey, about every 3 or 4 weeks, he would
mm-hmm.
light move up and, you know, throw it over the fence. Problem
mm-hmm.
was it took him 2 or 3 weeks to do it. So
yeah.
in between, what's he getting? Strikeout?
Yep.
If you look at baseball,
there have been very few people who have a swing. Mm-hmm.
Guys, if you look at the batting average of baseball, if you hit 333, okay, let's say you hit 333.
Right.
That means for every 10 times, you're going to get 3 hits for 10 times.
And that's
mm-hmm.
considered elite. And that's considered
yeah, that's
elite.
That's considered great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and
right.
You got to remember also, the year before, the last full season before this year was the first time in baseball history where you had more strikeouts than hits.
Yeah.
You only had 10 or 15 players batting over 300. That never happened.
Sure.
You got to also remember when Rod Carew, I think he ended up hitting 389 that season. But when he was over 4 and it was like less than a month left, they were trying to find anything they could to disparage him. They were doing everything. And Rod Carew is a proud alumnus of my high school, George Washington. Thank you very much. Rod Carew was killing it. They really felt scared that he was going to hit 400. Because, well, Ted Williams hit 400. We can't have him on the pedestal with this guy. And I never understood how They twisted the narrative. I mean, almost like what they did to Roger Maris in 61. They twisted the narrative. So Rod Crew was no longer a great player. You know, now it was, he's flirting with history. So they try to put more heat on him in that manner. And although we laugh when the Gas House Gorillas go up against the Teetotalers, Barry Bonds was a one-man Gas House Gorilla. He was killing motherfuckers. Every time he got up, you could hear the music. Dun, 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 crack, dun, 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 crack. He was killing.
Michael, whatever. See, Barry Bonds, they created Barry Bonds. They created Barry. Let me explain what I'm talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
Barry Bonds, he was 8 years old. But he was 8 9
That's
years
right.
old.
That's right.
He was in the Chicago Cubs locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And these Dick Dastardly reporters.
That's right.
Were Barry Bonds.
Yep.
Barry Bonds said, you ain't to me.
Mm-hmm. That's right. By the way, Mike.
That's right, Barry.
They know that, Gary.
Dick Dastardly gets around a hell of a lot, does he not?
Okay, that's a bad motherfucker. Yeah, him and Muttley.
I like Muttley. Come on, Muttley.
Actually, Muttley is Yadi Molina, but I can't prove it. But you know,
I love Yadi. Yadi should be in the Hall of Fame too. But you know,
he's in there. He'll be there.
We got baseball on display now, and Tony, because I know you're keeping track of all this, is baseball doing a better job with their product in the postseason?
No.
Thank you for that unsolicited response. I love that. Hey, G.
The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of Major League Baseball or its club, but it's damn true. to reiterate, I guess what Gary is saying. And, oh, by the way, Braves are up 4-0.
It's
5-2 now. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm really on the tape delay now. I guess I'm actually doing my yearly ritual of watching the first Nick regular season game.
You know what happened to us? We got blacked out.
Oh, really?
Right in the middle of the game, way out.
Really?
Third quarter, way out.
Really? Wow. Well, oh, yeah. National Stream, all you want? NationalStreamTV.com.
NationalStreamTV.com,
and as long as you've got a good internet connection, they can do it on Fire Stick or on computer or on a tablet or whatever you like to watch your games. And if you need any more information, please let me know. NationalStreamTV.com. All one word.
All right.
But,
come on.
The piggyback on what Commissioner Gray was saying. unless you're a diehard, you know, it leaves a lot to be desired about now. The games have actually, I mean, aesthetically the games have been okay, but see, again, you know, if you don't have 4.5 hours to kill,
the reason why I say that is because what happened to the Giants? Mm-hmm. Now, baseball continues to be stupid happened with the Giants and the Dodgers, I think. Okay. You have a text wing. A text wing. Two outs. You can't call a guy out like that. You're just going to be this wing. You can't do that.
Yeah. It's a shame that that series basically was ended on a humbug. I mean, he still may wind up striking out, but it shouldn't have come down. Especially in the postseason, you've got to. But unfortunately, this is where and the thing about it is you can't even blame Joe West or Angel Hernandez on this one. This was somebody else that called it. And of course, after the game, oh, well, maybe he didn't swing. My bad.
I'm
sure that makes Wilmer Flores feel much better. Oh, it's his bad? Oh, well, what are you going to do?
See, that's what's wrong with him. I think baseball won't correct itself. That should have been corrected immediately.
Gary, remember how long it took baseball to get black players in the major league?
Yeah.
And see, Gary, it's people like you that messes up these shall we call them traditions. They don't. You see, because that's the way we done it for the last 100 years. That's all that keeping the tradition.
Yep.
They could care less about improving the game, making it more, shall we call it, fan friendly. Wink,
yep.
Wink.
Yep.
So dark skinned people who play the game and show up at the game.
Come
on. Because usually during the minor league season, the library I use is right across the street from our minor league team's field. So I get to see people going through the parking lot over to the field. And people, there were people who said, oh, this is for white folk. A lot of black folks go to ball games over there. And they go because they enjoy the game. But the downside is, you know how we like to say we like to see people out there that look like us?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
If they look like you, they sure don't talk like you.
Come on.
And they ain't all geeches either. And see, that's the kind of stuff that baseball – baseball has done next to nothing with HBCUs.
No.
Mm-hmm. Slowly, because see, right now, realistically, the only true baseball conference is the SWAC. The SIAC is so-so, and the MEAC is so-so. But I think there's only three, if I remember correctly, there's only three CIAA teams that play baseball, and they play in other conferences. Because I know Claflin plays in South Carolina, and they play in a conference that's in Western South Carolina over into Georgia, and I think as far away as Alabama. But, they decided to keep their team. Winston decided for whatever stupid reason that we don't raise money, we don't want to raise, the chancellor and his circle of friends don't want to raise money, so they let our baseball program go. Well, we got three or four guys in the minor league system still, and we haven't had a team now in 3 years.
Wow.
Only one of them is black.
Fred, that speaks to that revenge of the nerds madness you talk about regarding administrations. If they know that baseball is working in a certain part of the country, there doesn't seem to be a cooperative spirit with making sure that for the good of everybody that the programs carry on.
Well,
and the sad thing, it started. I really feel like it started when Howard dropped their program, because it's been a snowball. It's been a snowball effect since then, at least in modern time, and at least in the recent years, because it's. I mean, I'm not. You know, it's not like how. I mean, you had some players that came out of Howard. You know, truth be told, the HBCUs used to barnstorm overseas during the period of time when the Negro Leagues there. I have a book. I have a Negro League book that shows Howard's traveling baseball team playing over in China from wow. back in the day. And you had the most famous player that I know that came out of Howard was a guy by the name of Chuck Hinton, who passed away a few years back. Played for the I think he played for the Senators and a few other teams. Yeah, he played with a bunch of teams. He wasn't like Suitcase Simpson, but he played with a bunch of teams. Yeah. But I know he was prominently with Washington because you know right in that area. But yeah, ever since Howard dropped their baseball, it seems like it's been sort of a domino effect. In regards to, how HBCU baseball has just literally and figuratively, sadly, fallen off the face of the earth, and it's ridiculous. It really is ridiculous. And see, that's another sore spot for baseball because even though we see little things over the years where they've added on. Where they've done little things, you know, putting money in and stuff.
Yeah.
End of the day, they really don't push. They don't push the league. They don't really push baseball in the HBCUs as much as they used to back in the day.
Well, you know what? For what's been said about what baseball's not doing, hockey is doing it and doing it well. The NHL season has come into play now, and we're enjoying the fact. I know we're talking to Kraken in Seattle and other teams in the league are showing their best feet forward, and they all got jump in their skates. We get to see highlights every night, and the difference between this season so far and every other season before, we see little nuances. When the Minnesota Wild plays, Matt Dumba, the black defenseman, is bringing the power play, getting them in position to score. And Chad Greenway, their forward, their big 6'8" forward, is in there trying to get down and get to the net. We got Toronto Maple Leafs. Yes.
The San Jose Sharks have a problem.
Uh-oh. Are you going to bring it up?
That problem is Evander Kane.
I don't know what Evander Kane did over the offseason.
But this brother better get it right because he's gonna be out of the league. They're giving him
21 days. They basically gave him a 21 day cease and desist notice to you know you ain't got to go home, but you gotta get out of San Jose.
I think he's definitely played his last game for the Sharks. They're suspending him 21 games. For, and they're, quote, established violation of the COVID-19 protocol. Now, I don't know where his doctor is held
up. It was a big card.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
I mean, like,
but, you know,
what are you doing?
But you know, Mike, it's interesting. You know, I might as well come right out and say it. Even the NBA didn't come out and do that with Kyrie.
Exactly. Exactly. So a fake vaccine card, I mean, you got to use your fucking head.
This has been going all summer. His wife and the gambling. This has been a complete mess.
He put his drama out on Front Street through her actions, for better or for worse. We got Patrick Farrar in the mix as well. And when you add all of this up, based on the salary, when he scored 30 goals and he got a 7-year, $49 million contract,
yes,
problems started to arise. And this affects everybody. I mean, Kyle Okposo of the Buffalo Sabres got 2 goals and an assist last night when Buffalo beat Vancouver. Now, for hockey fans and for hockey people, this is okay, and that's just another day at the office. But for the Gold Brothers, this is a good thing. Okposo scored his 200th goal. So he's been slinging and dinging for a long time. And we love the fact that he's getting some love. But that gets overshadowed because of Kane. Patrick, can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And Mike, I don't know which is more amazing, the fact that he still has a job or the fact that the Sabres have yet to lose a game.
I'm telling you, the Sabres are running wild. I know Patrick would probably say he's shaking his head too, but the brothers are there, and now the brothers are so visible, they can't be hidden anymore. You got Robinson and Wayne Simmons in Toronto. You got players everywhere.
Hey, Patrick, what was the deciding factor of our man not playing tomorrow night? They said we got a better shot, or they couldn't shoot him up enough to get that shoulder straight.
A torn labrum
is no joke. That's no joke.
So Quinn, that stopped the NFL from trying to shoot these guys up. Come on. If Brett Favre said,
Reggie, how dare you? How dare you? Don't you think Case Keenum's family has been waiting all year to get a chance to see him?
Say, Reg, let me change.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
First of all, it's good to be with everybody.
Secondly, if
I'm paying you $15 million, I'm going to shoot you in the butt, in the arm, and the toe if I got to get you in that field.
Mm-hmm. And Patrick, you better have that stadium grass cut by sundown tomorrow too.
Thank you, sir.
He better get them kids Halloween candy at the stadium. Hey, which is Jim and commercial he do, or just him sitting around saying, "It hurts like hell. I don't know what's going on."
Well, quite frankly, the word I'm getting, and I know Connected with Team Reports just put it out, they seriously got to look for a backup quarterback in this.
Cam has vaccination.
I don't think they would do that because Cam got too much personality. First of all, they wouldn't put him this year. But if they did, imagine the writers from all the country would be there looking at Cam and Odell. Lord have mercy. They don't want that kind of
draft. Oh Lord, man, that's a combination.
I can't wait to see him dressing in the press conference.
Cleveland wouldn't have the balls to do that.
No.
And, you know, while we're talking about Cleveland, they got to decide whether they're going to write that check to Baker Mayfield. Frankly, I tell Cleveland to keep their money and spend it somewhere else, but I digress.
Hell no.
Right now, they're going to spend the money right now. Based nearly on the fact that when he got there, they couldn't win. Now they have a chance to win.
They ain't exactly
that's
winning now.
Basically, balls out there. So, I will say this. The number that they're going to put him might not be what he thinks he's going to put on him. But we'll see.
He's not gonna get Matthew Stafford money. Let's put it that way. He won't even get Matthew Broderick money at this point in time in his career.
But I will tell you this for sure. Even though in terms of on the field and how we perceive
and thinking that the quarterback drug behind him might have a more impactful effect on the team, the Cleveland base loves that boy.
He's going to get an incentive-laden clause. I wouldn't, you know, if his agent is smart, he got to hit him up for an attendance and clause.
Yeah. I would. He has
that one
selling JoJo on the team. Come on, man.
But that quarterback in Baltimore ought to get a nice piece of change, Patrick, and he's his own agent.
He need to get
paid. Anything with that one, Patrick.
That
he's gonna get
paid.
I ain't worried about General Jackson. He's gonna get paid. But hold on, Baba Louie. If I remember right, the backup in Cleveland, Case Keenum, played for the Panthers. And he actually had that. He was the one who was quarterback in that season where they got lucky in Minnesota. I think he was at 13-3 or 12-4 or some shit like that.
That beat the Saints. Was that him that beat the Saints?
Yep.
That was him. He was the quarterback.
Yep. That's basically the reason why he's drawing a salary.
Let the church.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey, lightning strike once. Amen.
And if he has to play 2 weeks to get through 2 weeks, they'll do that. So make up, because, guys, this 17-game season is a stretch. The Browns got
–
The Browns got both running backs. They want both running backs are out this Sunday, and both offensive tackles are out. They were out last Sunday and this Sunday. So, guys,
Patching stuff up.
They got to go the whole season and play.
Patrick, keep your cell phone handy just in case. You never know.
That's right.
Yeah.
One question, Patrick, about these Thursday night games. I hope the NFL is happy with these Thursday night games, all these injuries. I hope they happen.
Tony, if you call me, I'm still playing Madden.
There you go. That's right. Raw off the Texas roster. There you go.
We got DraftKings on line 9 for you, Patrick. DraftKings on line 9 for you.
Patrick, earlier on, we were talking about the fact that New Jersey has now become the mecca for gambling.
Generated
over billions.
Nothing like that mob money coming out of New Jersey.
They broke a record as of today, officially. Last month, they drew $1 billion in betting.
That's what they report.
Oh, that's actual money, brother.
All I'll say is, while both DraftKings and FanDuel, their main office is in New York, I believe officially
they
do business in Jersey.
They're also taking action in some of the tracks. Fairmount Park in Pennsylvania. They're doing that.
But Jim, hold on. They did $1 billion in 1 week. $1
billion.
In a month.
The reason they're doing it, because that fat piece of guy with the governor, I call him, and his mama. I keep telling them the one time I was doing the Dallas game on the sideline a couple of years ago, and the Giants, and the state troopers were walking down past me. I said, who are these big suckers walking past me? I figured, well, maybe Jerry Jones. Well, guess who they're walking behind? That fat piece of guy with Christie.
Yeah.
I wanted to jet smack him there, but I figured them brothers are too big for me to be stupid.
Now, Patrick, if you dressed yourself up as a damn ham sandwich, you had a shot.
Oh, shit. There you go.
Jelly donut.
That's right.
Yeah, they had glazed eyes and jelly donuts.
Because
you can't hard to resist the Krispy Kreme even today. But have him say all
because he was a complete insult to the state of New Jersey. Because he's up there in
the that Philly cheesesteak in for that clown.
Here's Krispy and Jerry Jones box in MetLife Stadium, with the Giants. He's the governor of New Jersey. Folks talked about him like a dog. But anyway, because of that suit, because
the
of
round
that suit,
of
what they
round.
Did, what was done, just in case the lawsuit that he helped and or his administration helped initiate went through.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as it went through, they enacted the proper mechanisms to handle betting and various locations, and that's why they had everybody else.
Yes.
Patrick, just question-wise, the billion, does that include, I'm just curious, does that include internet sales as well?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about overseas money? Is that overseas money too?
No. I'm sure they have some
hold on. For the record, overseas betting is not taken in the U.S. You got Ladbrokes, which has the rights to that over in the U.K.
Okay. Not William Hill?
I thought Charlie the Fingers and his wife would be coming
William Hill's
to
European
exactly.
base. William Hill's European base, but you couldn't, if you were going to William Hill and you wanted to bet on Tottenham Hotspur against Manchester United, you could not do it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's remember this. $1 billion in a month. Think about all the money that used to be Vegas. Think about Fred and me and Tony and Patrick flying out for the weekend. And, of course, we'll make a casual bet here So think about all the money that ain't going nowhere.
Pictures. I was like, this is it.
They're
this
keeping
is
it. All the money staying here. And in another year or so, New York's going to get action. So
there's going to
be no reason.
North Carolina
to go
also.
That's right.
There'll be no reason to go there. Richard will try to get TV1, trying to get your girl at TV1 to build a casino here in Richmond, Virginia. Kathy Hughes.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the only black owned casino. And I'm black folks going to support her. She crazy as hell.
She better get on it.
Count on white
but
folks.
You know what? She don't care for their gamblers. If they're gamblers, they'll back her. That's right.
Yeah, the sales pitch is what they're saying. The only black owned casino to try to get it past the city council. That's their selling pitch.
Uh-huh.
I can say one thing, Rich. I know that one thing I have to admire. I do admire Ricky Smiley. What he soaked on to that betting situation down in Mississippi and Alabama.
Yeah.
Ricking in the cash, bro.
Reg, the one constant, whatever in gambling, as long as the money clears and the check clears, it could be the reincarnation of Mansa Musa. They don't care as long as you're making it. As long as the check clears, man.
Let me just back that up. Unless you're a complete idiot and an outright knucklehead.
You beat me to it because I was about to say Trump could probably even Trump could probably make money now at his casino now.
He bankrupted the casino in Jersey. He did it.
Yeah.
There you go, Reg. Because he's
I'm sorry.
You ain't lying, Rich. You cannot. That's how. That right there should show how stupid he is.
Man, bankrupt a casino. God, please. Lord have mercy.
Oh, excuse me. By the way, he built a hotel in D.C. Lost $70 million last year. Okay, move right along. But he's a great businessman.
Hey, between his hotels, his horse meat that he tries to sell off as steak, his His university? His university?
Alpo line too.
No, even Alpo's like, oh no, we'll pass, thank you.
Okay, since y'all brought this up, hello, 911 operator, what is your call? I'm here to report a robbery. And what is your name? My name doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what my name is. I'm here to tell you that the Morris Smith is stealing money in fucking New York and head of the damn Players Union. Y'all need to arrest this black ass right now.
And he didn't have a gun or a stocking cap. He just walked up and took the money.
You know, this way. Isn't it sad that we've actually heard more from D. Smith in the last 2 weeks than we've had than we've heard from the time that he took the job?
I was looking like to a certain former coach say they were.
put it this. I'll say it before and I'll say it again. Even Waldo said, "Where's that motherfucker been?"
I'll tell you, how much damn control NFL is doing with Gruden, Patrick. I'll tell you what.
This is what my boy said, and I repeated what he said again. He's a lawyer and former judge and law professor at Seton Hall University. He said that the group being fired was a given. Of course, the emails are the bomb, but the text messages of those guys is nuclear.
I'm not surprised.
That's right.
I'm not surprised.
Remember this, Patrick. The only reason Gruden got fired. The only reason he got fired in my mind was that the ones that were leaked to Commissioner Goodell really told the story. Because if he had not relented, there would have been more emails coming out. It would have been all over Front Street, 4th Street, 3rd Street, every street.
Yes, indeed.
He couldn't take the heat. He had to succumb. And this also means
Patrick, let's flip the script, Patrick. Okay, David Chappelle rings over the code, and God bless Netflix for saying, "Fuck yeah, we go work with him." And then the transgender, but yet a certain coach said the same thing about fags and gays, even women in the being referee and leadership position. Now, what's the difference?
The difference is one's chocolate, one's vanilla. That's the difference.
That's right.
That's what the ball is.
That's pretty much. Yeah.
David Chappelle, basically, they want to yoke him, but they will get the white boy a pass if they could.
Well, Reggie, come to this order. Like Mike was saying, if you want to get people fired, the first thing is if you mess with the commissioner. The second thing is the homophobic statements. And the brother related to black is their third. So actually, it's the third most important thing, but the impact got him out and what's behind it. Because if it was just that, he wouldn't have got fired. He was suspended.
And what about tax money? I'm tax dollars going to these stadiums and these football teams. So
thankfully. Thankfully, Michael, we don't have an NFL team here. Connecticut. Matter of fact, truth be told, we don't have a Division I football team here too. But that's another story in and of itself.
Why you got to take a shot at the brother, man? Why you got to take a shot at the brothers?
No brother goes to UConn. Not
Coach, I'm talking the ones playing. Take a shot at them brothers, man.
Reg, they got their first win last week. But they had to play. If it wasn't for this way, they're trying to petition to put Army, Navy, Merchant Marines, Coast Guard, trying to get them on their schedules.
They need to put Vanderbilt back on that.
They called my old high school for a scrimmage. Just so they can, just so they can remember.
That's right.
But
and
well,
you got
to
cry because
they
beat him already.
Tony, I'll follow up this what you just said, because yesterday, talking about Connecticut, I did the Big East press conference media day yesterday. By the way, guys, the Big East basketball will be interesting.
It's going
to be interesting. Watch, of course, Villanova, which is going to bring attention. Watch Xavier, and watch Seton Hall, and even watch St. John's, particularly because of the fact that Mike Anderson, which one of them white boys wanted to put as coach because they wanted to put one of their boys in coach, and wouldn't support him. He was coach of the year last year at Big East.
Right?
He shut everybody up, and he played the guard.
Patrick, wouldn't you just love just one time that the ADs with Syracuse, BC, and all them, George, wake up one morning with an epiphany and say, we need to go back home.
That's right. That would be impressive.
Your point is well taken. And I got to give the credit to the folk at the Big East administratively that put that league together, because it was predicted it was going to be failed because it was all basketball. It's been just the opposite. It's done well. And I was talking to you about, and I messed up because my battery ran out. I cussed myself out in 9 different languages because they had the cameras on your boy, and your boy, Danny Hurley, as coach. Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
Danny is crazy. The crazy bug and twice as deadly. I remember him growing up. I played pickup basketball with him. he talked about delusional. He said, "Well, I don't know other guys, but when I make the NBA," and all the brothers said, "NBA? Is that a game? What's that? Electrician game? What kind of NBA are you gonna go in?" He's made himself a coach, but he's talking big smack.
You know what? Be careful what you wish. Be careful what you ask for. I'll just say that.
All right.
Be careful what you ask for.
There's a difference between white smack and black smack. And we've seen that illustrated regarding General Jackson and Baker Mayfield. Now, we know that boy ain't shit compared to Jackson. Because when he does something, they'll say, well, what else can he do? And I'm referring to Jackson. Now, he's been under the scrutiny, the clique lights lately, because he's that good. And they don't want to hear it. Every year he's gotten a little bit better at doing something. And even without an ace receiver, because his ace receiver is really his tight end, Andrews. But I'm saying when he looks for somebody on third down, he's looking at that big ass 89.
But the bottom line,
he's slashing through them. And they're not even talking about Kyler Murray yet. Kyler Murray is loaded. They are afraid of that brother because he's coming into any stadium with the best hands in football, DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Kirk, Zach Ertz, who just got traded from Philly over there, Rondell White, Chase Edmonds, AJ Green.
Hey, Mike, but what does that say, Mike, when the head coach of the Cardinals got COVID and the brother Raheem is coaching them and they whooped the dog shit out of the Cleveland? Sorry, Patrick.
Yes, they did.
And everybody's
they did.
Like,
they
oh,
did.
Shit.
They did.
Yeah.
Four turns,
yeah.
Man.
It wasn't
four
even
clear when that way.
But they didn't say hard enough about the job that the head coach Rasheed Morris did when his other coach had COVID.
They don't
want to
say that. But I tell you 100%. What.
I know. I'm sorry, T. I did it again. I know. Putting them facts in. I'm
down,
sorry.
They're a shutdown play. They're a shutdown team. But when
it
you
just
see
just
a
rolled
shutdown
off my
play.
List. I couldn't help myself.
When you see a shutdown play, you see how demoralized everybody is. That third goal pass to DeAndre Hopkins was magic. Hopkins makes the catch. He has to turn around into three defenders, slinks past them, shakes two and ends up in the end zone on third and fucking goal from the 14-yard line. After that, they were no more good. They were done like fucking dinner.
It was so bad. Matter of fact, it was so bad, Baker made them cut the grass after the game the other night. That's how bad it was.
That's
right.
You can't say anything after something like that.
Also, Mike, when our whole offense is facing running the ball. Chubb's out, and then Hunt got hurt. I said, it's over. And that's what happened.
Yep.
When you can't run the ball, then that means you have to put the ball in Mayfield's hands, and he ain't built for that. He might do it in the flow of the game, but he got those plans. But do it by himself? No, he can't.
Thank God Case Keenum is there to save him, to put a damper on all of this.
He'll lead the way.
Case, he'll lead the way.
Tony, in that case, I can be Brad Pitt's double then. You know?
I know that's right.
Yeah, you're only a couple inches shorter than him. I mean,
yeah, he's shorter than me by almost a foot.
And by the way.
Concerning here locally, the Giants are in trouble. They were in trouble when they
extended Gettleman's contract. That's when they were in trouble.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, let me tell you something. Myra and Tish are saying, "What the hell have we got going on here?" Because I wasn't at the game, but the writers I know and two guys who I know pretty well because I go one guy's store all the time to get my papers. He's a diehard Giants fan. He said he left at halftime. They left.
That's embarrassing.
Is it time for another airplane to fly over Giants Stadium?
Wait,
Tony, four letters
saying help.
Yeah, really. Yeah, but you know what? Knowing the Giants, they'd probably say instead of SOS, they'd probably say SHIT.
No shit.
hey, Patrick, can Dusty Baker bring it home this time, man? They up 3-2. Can you think Dusty can bring it home?
He might.
Yeah.
Because you know something? He got them guys playing to where they don't give a damn what happened in the past. You know, what I'm from. And here's the worst thing, guys.
No analytics for Dusty Baker.
Analytics for Dusty Baker, true. And much I hate analytics in baseball. But let's be serious. It's a classic case. People get together the team that got the worst reputation in the league and expect them to do something. Well, you're doing something. Now what you're going to do about it?
Come on.
Sure.
And you know, because he is doing something, they are going to talk about it if they don't get the outcome they want. That's exactly right.
Yeah, we'll see. They couldn't, you know. They want to get the Dodgers and the Red Sox. I don't think they're going to, you know, if they go as is, they may not get either.
I said the team that my Dodgers I was scared of most is Atlanta Braves. Well, let the church say amen again.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Great,
and you know
no
why?
Joke.
Because and the reason I said Atlanta, because Atlanta's old school baseball that got a bunch of brothers who are making stuff happen. They're going face to face. Everybody ain't trying to hit a home run with two on, which people thrive on because it sells and it makes good television. But you win base to base.
Look, I get, you know, everybody likes the home runs and whatever. But see, again, the fact that you had a season not that long ago where there were more strikeouts than hits, that should be, I don't know if they're going to start. I don't know if they're going to try to, you know, lower the mound again. But you got to realize that, you know, there's something that has to be done. I mean,
yeah.
I you know, you know, the thing is, this might be the one thing that probably shames them into finally using the universal DH. But I don't even know if that will change it, though, to be quite honest.
True.
So and the problem with the universal DH is that you got those purists who don't believe in it, and they will nitpick it. No matter they don't care that it actually works, because you know we do have the American League, and it's not like we got people who were around and watched. You know, the guys coming out of World War II and the integration and all that kind of stuff. These are people who are still reading old books and want to do something that they always did. And, and heaven forbid if the DH is one of you, because that's a job away from them, because they're supposed to be the best hitters, but that's not always necessarily so.
It's look. There's just too many dead spots in baseball, and one of those dead spots is watching a pitcher try to hit. Now, yes, there are a lot of pitchers that can hit, but here's the thing about the DH. On the days that your starting pitcher is playing, let him hit.
Stop
freaking rocket science here, folks.
Fred, you're 100% correct. And in regards to that, because of the fact that the pastoral attitude that people have about baseball of the folks of the past tuned with how people see the game, particularly young folks see the game today.
You're right.
These are the same. They tried
to market baseball with a whole lot of rap records and music for guys to come to bat. Okay, that's nice. But they got to see something within the game that gets their attention. And here's the classic case. You all know, like I know, they talk about that boy Tatis from San Diego like a dog.
That's right.
Of course, he's flashy. He got a clock. You know, he got swag to him. Well, that's not baseball. Yes, it is. One thing you need to see is how baseball game was appreciated and approached in terms of fan participation in Latin American countries as compared to this country. He had sterile.
That's right.
It's manufactured.
That's exactly right.
If watching MQ, they got Kumas playing. They got, you know, folks dancing in the stands. And you enjoy. Plus, they play base-to-base baseball. Here, everybody wants home run because shit, the baseball, the chicks
Although
they don't understand.
Not to mention the scantily clad bat women, but that's a whole other story in and of itself.
But fellas, the one thing that makes it an equalizing situation are the swings. I was in the Kingdom, and this is when Griffey was just starting, Junior was just starting to show what he could do. And just like Patrick said, they were playing the intros for everybody else, and Jay Buhner got his, and everybody else was stupid shit. But when Griffey got up the bat, they hit Biggie Smalls and Hypnotize. And people actually got up and started cheering. He hadn't done anything yet. That was the freaky part about it. He hadn't done anything yet. And in that back, he hit a line drive, classic Griffey, that went into the stands for a ground rule double. But, I mean, the fanfare, everybody knew. There's only a handful of swings that we've seen, or at least that I've seen in my lifetime. Darryl Strawberry, Dave Winfield, you know, Barry, of course. And, you know, sweet swings make a difference because you can't do nothing about it. When Rob Carew was hot, I mentioned him earlier, that swing was beautiful. Manny Ramirez, Will Clark, all these cats. They made you pay attention when they got at the bat.
Mike, there is nothing more violent in all of professional sports than seeing Gary Sheffield swing.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Oh, you know that.
Yes,
that brother does not get cheated. I mean, he gets mad when he didn't hit that motherfucker.
I literally have a sore neck just watching him swing.
You don't even have to know. When he hits that ball, that ball says, ow.
Oh, man.
And Tony, you know something? When when we had the first black, all-black sports show producing on WLIB, myself and I was one of the producers, and the Dodgers played the Mets, and the Dodgers won, and we got to meet Gary Sheffield. He's one of the few folks that took our brochure when locked and said, man, give me that brochure. I'm going to see if I can get to somebody to help y'all out, man. He's always been genuine like that.
And that's what I've always appreciated about him. You know, he's as real as his swing. He swings
like a motherfucker for good money.
And it's unfortunate, and really unfortunate, that they can't get more young brothers to play the game. That's unfortunate. For a lot of reasons. We could talk about it all day long.
Here's the thing. There are actually more young kids playing, but see, baseball doesn't do anything to keep to sustain them. See, baseball, football will do that. Basketball will do that. Baseball just doesn't. And see, it sort of goes back to me. It's like how all these people go, you know, about how they try to react to Jackson. They don't know how to approach him. They don't know how. Instead of embracing,
take credit for him.
Well, Mike, it's even worse than that. They don't know. To me, they don't know how to. They don't know how to approach him. I mean, in a sense, they still look at us as colored.
They've been cultivated now.
They'll call us colored now.
To quote David Chappelle, they had a meeting and he said, "What can we call them to offend them?" Wieners. No, can't call them wieners. No, wieners. Wait a minute. I can't remember. Niggers. Order.
All I know is Dave Chappelle is a musical genius. That's all I'm gonna say. Dave Chappelle is a musical genius.
That's true, man. And the aspect of
it
guys
rolls off my tongue.
Playing again. And as a matter of fact, I'm gonna tell you the truth. And looking at a lot of these, I had to do about, you know, my station, we produce about 10 of our high school football games. So I just put it in the guy, my associate producer, and I just go look sure everything's working out right. But unfortunately, a lot of inner city schools have the same problems. Kids can't throw the freaking ball because they don't play baseball. They throw the ball like a freaking shot, like a shot put. They'll put 9 men in line. We can run side to side. They play tough on defense, but very few brothers. Except the brother I saw last week in Newark at West Side. There's a couple of schools after him. He's about 6'3". That boy threw the ball like it was a biscuit going down. He fired the ball. And what's made the band the top school in Jersey City. Which is coached by a guy, defensive backs coached by a guy to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He had him prepared, but what he didn't have him prepared for, they don't see balls being thrown like that on a regular basis, and he's tore their ass up, you see. Mm-hmm. And it all goes down to the fact that kids, and I've been saying it, and all the coaches in Jersey City, in the show I did, got guys on high school baseball in Jersey City, guys, you got to get kids to play baseball, to learn how to throw a point of release instead of trying to shove the ball on the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not just point of release. They also got to get footwork right.
That's true. True.
Absolutely.
That
absolutely.
Is true.
Can we get baseball team right?
Right.
How about getting the deals right?
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you think back a couple of weeks ago, when the young man was playing for Kansas City.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Remember that shovel pass that he did?
Yeah.
And a couple of other
guys watching.
Although they didn't win, but all those little things like
that. Two-yard run.
Because he was able, matter of fact, with the right footwork, you not only get a good pass, you also get a good fake.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
It's not an accident that three of the top quarterbacks in the league also played baseball at a pro level.
There you go.
There's no mistake.
There you go. There you go.
See, Michael, that's how stuff gets started.
But it's true.
True first.
Hey Patrick, has Urban Myers flown back from London yet, or is he still overseas in London?
Oh, he flew back. He flew back. I told somebody.
I don't know. As a victory, he might have somebody slapped some more ass.
No,
I don't know.
No. I told somebody. I said, if there's one person in the entire country that was glad Groupman's fired, it was Urban Myers.
I
knew
that. That's right.
They ain't talking
about me. That's right.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
Get this off
of
my ass. That's right.
Patrick, I can hear it now. Dear Diary, thank God for John Gruden.
That's right. Yeah,
thank God for Chucky. Said, you know that new Rolls Royce I want? Myers, guess what? You're getting it to me before Christmas. I wonder how many honeydews he had to do for his old lady.
No lie.
You know, guys, have you ever heard that Dick Gregory story where he talks about
George Burns?
No. This is Dick Gregory. He talked like he was talking about Kobe Bryant. I can't hear it. I can't do it justice. But it has it's a sort of thing where. Yeah, she asked for a diamond ring. That's because she knows there's a matching bracelet and necklace that goes with it.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right.
Hey, you know what George Burns said? Hey, Jack Benny, I caught George cheating. You think you can talk to me and get me another bedroom set? The living room set is fine.
Yes, he can.
Hey, George Burns and Jack Benny, say no more. Way back.
Well, before
Jackie
we carry
Gleason
on.
Too. Alice, the curtain going up. You want to go up with it?
Before we carry on with the field general's report, let us review. We've had Jeff Fisher's ass on the grill because of the fact that he, through the competition committee, ruined the career of Robert Griffin III and definitely compromised Colin Kaepernick's situation. Having received the information, we will now pass sentence.
Uh-oh. I thought I smelled something.
If it please the motherfucking court, I state for the record that motherfucker Jeff Fisher should be charged with 10 counts of assholery, 15 counts of dick dastardliness, and 50 counts of scumbaggery. He is guilty of being a motherfucker in the first degree.
The Honorable Judge Jeff Fisher is going to fucking jail.
Judge. Is his legal fees being paid for by his former quarterback that played in Texas to cover his legal costs?
I have no comment on that until the check is in my account for cash. So I plead the fifth on said notion.
I don't feel this way, Patrick. I don't think the law firm of Young Collins and Collins is going to handle that. They're going to handle these court costs right about now.
Yes. But the firm of Gravit and Hyde will. Yes, and I speak for both of the counselors. But having said all of that, we are now in a situation where the NFL is past the point of no return. 6 weeks are in, everybody, which means everyone has faced a division opponent at least once. We know that now we can say if Team A beats Team B under the right circumstances, we can call it an upset. But the thing that's still upsetting everybody is the money. We can't step away from the money. We can't evade it. It's everywhere. As Patrick and others have stated, the fantasy football aspect of this is an avalanche. It is sweeping the whole league. How the fuck can you tell if somebody's playing for real or, as the professor said, it's sports entertainment? Do you care? Because if you're winning money, you ain't even thinking about it. So where does this go, fellas?
Well, remember, we still have 11 more weeks to go.
There you go. There you go. There you go.
It literally does feel like a marathon, and we're not even at the halfway point. I've already been too tired this year. Right now, I'm in my baseball mode pretty much, and like I'll peek in on games. You know, I dipped a little bit tonight and actually watched some.
But T, your
NBA
Knicks won
basketball
tonight. Don't that make you feel good, T? I know you're in your baseball, but the Knicks won in double overtime, bro. Come on now, at the Garden. Defense. It was wearing that organized tonight, brother.
Reggie. Game one's never been their problem. Now game two through 82. That's a whole.
LeBron James and Russell Westbrook on line one.
Well, put this way, they won tonight despite the fact that Jaylen Brown scored 49 points.
So I'm sure
practice tomorrow for Coach Thibodeau is going to be awful fun.
Holy
shit! No, they say he's calmed down. He's not as tense as he used to be. He's calmed down.
How many
at the end, not the beginning.
Oh yeah, Kemba only had 10, but it was about, you know. It was Randall and the new guy Obi Toppin actually got some decent playing time tonight. He had 12 points, so there's balance. But again, it's the first of 1,000 games. I mean, I always ceremoniously watch the first game just so I could say, well, I did watch a game this year. But I'll check back on them in a couple of weeks.
This is smorgasbord time. I want to ask everybody on the thread. Hey, now we got everything. We got football, baseball, basketball, hockey. If you've got total control of your situation, watching stuff, what sport are you going to watch? What's your first love? What's your priority?
For me, it'll be I'll watch baseball till the World Series ends, and then it'll probably be HBCU football.
Okay.
In my case, it's going to be football, followed by, once it starts, HBCU basketball. I don't watch the NBA because it sucks, and I'm a pirate.
How you really feel, Professor?
I'm a diehard Pirate fan, and we've been through since 4th of July. So you know,
I found out about the other day.
Go back and go through Pirate history. They have good players, good to great players, right up to the All-Star game. And after the All-Star game, they start
trading everybody. Yep.
Yeah, I bet you they're making money.
Oh, sure. The organization makes money. They just don't win.
Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, Mike, you may with that APB. You may want to add the Pirates front office to that APB. By the way,
I know that's right. Missing it. Actually,
hey,
for real.
Is that the fire engine I see coming in to put that fire out?
They've gotten away with this nonsense for the last guy for 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ever since Willie Stargell checked out. Real family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Man,
what about you, Reggie?
Reggie, what are you watching?
Dang.
Man, I'm watching the HBU cheerleaders. Oh my God! You know what? I'm a dirty old man.
And Mike,
I'm watching.
And Mike, I must feel again, Mike, as I have to do every other week. I feel it is my civic duty to remind Reggie that stalking is still illegal in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
That's right. You want to keep our brother? You want
to
keep our brother?
Say, the quote, T Mac, a man with a computer is a dangerous person. Is all I got.
That's true. They can't bust you when you're in your own home. They can't bust you when you're in your own home.
Hey, Patrick, you can back me up. We have some nice halftime shows on YouTube, don't we, Patrick?
Lord have mercy. Wait, thank God,
oh my God, they grow them thick down south. That's all I got to say.
Like the song says, make an old man wish for younger days. Yes, indeed.
No, I don't want younger days. I stay right where I'm at because of younger days, I'll be good.
That's a perk. Go ahead, Reggie.
Please, Mike,
there's some line. Some line about keeping Mr. Softy hard. I won't go too much more in depth into it, but I'll just leave it at that. I know the children are listening at 11 o'clock Eastern.
Hey, T Mac, the seafood store with oysters on line two.
I know.
Okay. And banana while you're at it too.
A quick question. How many of you all have ever figured out how HBCU bands and the dancing girls, you find 12 girls that are the same size and got all the identical hair?
Pigeon Wiggly? That's the only thing I can say. That's the only thing that comes to mind.
All I know is that they're all thicker than a Snickers, and that works for me.
Each size is two.
Lord have Alcorn and Purview. Lord have mercy.
With all the fake hair that's out there amongst folks, women or white women, there's a lot of amphibians out there that are freezing their asses off in the summer. That's all I'm going to say.
All I got to say is them little girls that got back, boy, that's 100% pure beef right there, buddy. Grade A.
Just feel free to let your hair down, and you know, if you want, just take your hair off, put it next to you. Ain't nobody gonna steal it. So having said
ESPN, they can steal this segment apart for their Wednesday HBCU show. They can steal this segment.
Yeah, how about that? They try to steal everything else. Tony, get Gary in for final thoughts, if you would, please. And I want to thank the chefs for serving up another great meal. Reggie, you set it off for us, please.
You know, we have heard so much garbage here in Virginia about the upcoming election. And it's interesting that a certain Democrat from West Virginia should have in honor of the professor, I won't say where I started to. But anyway, Joe Manchin,
The boy ain't shit.
That's all I got to say, Joe
Man.
Yeah. Right,
you
know,
you can say it twice.
Why don't he just go ahead and be like a certain former representative up there in Connecticut, Joe Lieberman, that decided, well, I can't win as a Democrat. I'm just going to go ahead and switch over to the Republicans, you know.
There you
I'm tired of these fake-ass Democrats, black, white, or whatever, want to be Republicans. Damn, if you ask one of the Republicans, join the Republican Party. Stop perpetrating the fraud. Because we as black people are the one that are being damaged. Just food for thought.
Yep.
I like that. Thank you, Reggie. That's good shit. Patrick, come on in.
Last week, again, I did the Rutgers media day down in New Brunswick. Had a nice day. I did some interviews, and I talked to a guy in young brother named Gino Baker, who I recall when he first came as a freshman, his brother from New Hampshire, and he was like wide-eyed and, you know, nervous about, you know, being at the university, and hoping things work out for him, and he's done very well. He's a captain of the team. He's graduated. Now he's going to graduate school. And it's in the sixth year because he got the extra year because of COVID. And he's one of the best players on Rutgers basketball for a while. But also his involvement with a particular organization. And I asked him this. I said something to him, and his reaction was, "What? That's crazy." And what I whispered to him, after the interview was over, I said, last week, Caleb Williams played Oklahoma, played Texas, and he lit Texas up. And, you know, one of the marquee games of college football in the country on TV. I see after the game, they went to the locker room, right, and the post-game press conference. Guess what? The coach wouldn't let him speak. How much money did he owe that young brother? And that's when, and now Jill is involved with NIL in the Big Ten. He is intently involved, and that's when he said, "That's crazy." A game like that, he could have got 4 or 5 sponsorships. But the guy would let him speak.
Wow. That's straight up foul. We'll have to definitely keep an eye on that. Professor, please, step up to the plate.
Well, first of all, you know, wherever each of you all are, you know, do what you can to help our kids and stuff. Last weekend we had five black teenage boys, oldest of which was 17, who got killed in a wreck. Doing 80 miles an hour in somebody else's vehicle. And all of them should have been home in bed. All five was killed. Not one had a seatbelt on. You know,
that's crazy.
Nothing. And, you know, and it's really tragic. I mean, one of the young lady who's one of the local anchors almost broke down on TV the other day when she was doing it. They were doing the story. And, you know, it hurts because those are five pretty good kids, all from the same, most of them from the same family. At least two of them were actually brothers. And, you know, this was stupid personified, but they're the ones who chose to do this.
Yeah.
Back to sports. Reggie, I'm sorry that Winston-Salem State is not on y'all's schedule. We need another win.
Elizabeth's sitting on line two for you, Professor. Elizabeth's sitting on line two for you.
that's only the third time Elizabeth City beat us in 20 years. You'll take it. But, you know,
I love the Professor.
I'm making good progress on the book on black immune basketball in black colleges. Some interesting things keep popping up. So, you know, I got some rewrites and all that kind of stuff to do. We'll start that early in the morning. But, you know, we still got to tell, you know, in all that we do, we got to tell our story. Because if we don't tell our story, then even people like Jackson, who was not from an HBCU, and all the others. And it amazes people because I had to say somebody a few days ago who was talking about Russell Wilson and his family. I said, well, you know, he's acting in his line, he's the first one who didn't go to an HBCU. Because his granddaddy went to Kentucky State. His daddy went to Kentucky State. Both of them played sports at those two schools. So, you know, he was graced because, I mean, he was exposed to a white world. His father, I served on a committee with his father, it's been over 20 years ago now. But, you know, he played football and basketball at Jackson State. His grandfather coached at Jackson State. And people say, you can't do it all. But to his credit, Dr. Wilson actually won over 350 college basketball games all at Jackson State.
There you go.
These are the kind of stories that we got to get out there because there's still that faction, and it's still growing, that says black folks ain't never done nothing on their own. And that's the story that we're trying to tell. Follow me on Facebook, HBC Heritage Center, or blackheritagereview.com, and go to website is blackheritagereview.com, and you can order books and follow us on other material. We're going to be doing some special stuff starting with the first of the month, which will be a week from Monday.
All that good shit.
Say Fred, question, Fred. Do you have a some pieces on all the HBCU basketball teams this year?
No.
Or somebody
else
has that. Okay. All right. All right. That's what I need to know. Okay.
I'm actually buried in old stuff right now.
Okay, because four teams are coming to Jersey in a couple of weeks. That's why.
That's
I'll get
right.
back with you maybe because,
that was the other thing. The HBCU situation looks like it might manifest itself once again in football in the Meadowlands. Looking forward to that. I'm sure there'll be more to come. Gary, come on with it, please.
Well, the New York Knicks. Put on new uniforms, withstand a brown 46-foot outburst, a 2 overtime victory over the aided Boston Celtics.
Did you say
one? This right. Boston Celtics, 138-134, first
right,
game of
the
year.
Yes, that's all right.
So we're off on the right foot. I hope we say that way, but on the right foot. But 138, that's a lot of points.
Which means they're going to get shut out in the next two games.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Hey, Gary, tell me what Spike Lee had on. I looked at the Tuesday Dome.
Yeah, a jigger, black and white jigger suit.
Yes, he did.
His mama's dressing him again.
Do not wear orange jumpsuit, please don't wear it ever again.
You want to look like Terry Cop? No.
Mike, let's put it this way. He may get thrown out of the garden for the worst. He may get thrown out of the garden for the most unique thing this time. Bad taste.
No, you know that's right. Fashion police.
At least he looks normal. Look normal today. Mm-hmm. Graham will go. Graham will go. Will be next week. If I get that stuff together next week. No, not this weekend. I still got the number to the NFL guy, to the guy that runs the NFL website.
I can call him in any minute now.
Okay.
That guy will be on time for Halloween, so the freaks will come on
Tony, at least tonight we can't call the New York team out of my guys out of Philadelphia. Who called the next New York Bricks? They're called the New York Bricks.
New York Bricks. New York Bricks.
Patrick. Someone has to. Somebody has to keep up the good work in New York for New York basketball.
That's right.
Construction is definitely lacking.
All the buildings need to pad on them bricks they're throwing up.
And all of our players are vaccinated. Don't feed me.
As I'm used to say on that show on Sunday mornings,
that's fucked up, Davey.
Yeah.
I am so jealous of you guys. Y'all having too much fun. I am so jealous. I'm jealous.
Oh, man.
All right, T-Mac, come on with it.
Damn.
Well, speaking of dogs, West Virginia basketball men's coach Bob Huggins has said, speaking from the Big 12 media day in Kansas City, it's time for the major conferences to split from the other schools and create their postseason tournament so they can control the most significant financial stream.
Huggins said they're doing it for football.
Why wouldn't they do it? The presidents and the ADs have all the juice. Why wouldn't they do it? They wouldn't do it. Why wouldn't they?
Tony, what did he say?
Besides, are you going to finish that donut? He said basically it's time for the major conferences to split from the other schools and create their own postseason tournament so they can control the sport's most significant financial stream. So they're just coming out and here's what he says about the quote unquote the Cinderella schools. Those Cinderella schools are putting 200 people at best in their gym. We're putting 14,000.
200.
By the way, to end it right quick. Huggins said controlling the postseason tournament is a way for basketball to remain financially relevant in the future as college football's influence and footprint continue to grow. He said college basketball revenues on many campuses goes towards supporting football while the NCAA makes the bulk of its money off of its basketball tournament.
I did preface it by saying
it was Mr. Huggins, by the way. So that's sort of,
you
know,
no, actually, yeah. Say, speaking of dogs, yeah. Mr. Huggins.
Well,
oh, greedy dog.
Gentlemen, we definitely have had some good stuff for the pot tonight. And I want to close with just something thinking about how, you know, we don't think about white supremacy oftentimes when we're talking about these things because we're all sports people. But we know every time they say some stupid shit about Matthew Stafford's non-playing mediocre iceberg lettuce ass being better than Lamar Jackson,
say the boy ain't shit. Come on, say the boy ain't
shit.
That's right. I'm sorry, Gary. I just had to hear before I went to sleep tonight. I had to hear.
But I think the thing that sticks in my core the most is something that Tony said a long time ago about how the mouse, the murine,
the rat
creates personalities. They don't give a fuck about journalism. Ain't no journalism going on in that motherfucker. And we know this. So the bottom line and all this, when we see the ESPN, they do.
Too, Mike.
We can't say we're surprised.
And Williams in line
we can't say we're surprised, but I'll just say this, and I've said it before. If Stephen A. Smith can tell Kevin Durant that he will destroy him on national television, I can say, Stephen A. Smith, you ain't shit, because when you were talking like you the baddest nigga in the house, you bitched up and was swallowing so much cum out of Joe Paterno Jr.'s mouth, you didn't have time to call.
Didn't say a word. Damn.
Thank you for that, Mike. You know, it's like a dumb night. Just ain't cutting. It's just talking loud and saying nothing.
Say it loud.
We will take a walk to the sunshine. We'll see you Saturday with the Stir Fry 2 followed by Gary Norris Gray next week at 4. For all of us here on the tree, go safe, stay safe, be safe. Wash your hands. Wash your ass.
Preferably wash that ass. Preferably. Preferably washing your ass with those clean hands, of course. So that's what
clean wash rag.
He's in line too.
Right. Yeah. Thanks, man. I'll get back to you. The same gentleman that's made the pickup last year is going to make it this year, Mr. Richie Vinto. Vera, I want you to put somebody on him.
All right, sugar.
You got a girl who can turn him out?
I have got a girl whose pussy is so good, if you threw it up in the air, it would turn into sunshine.
Well, I don't want to meet her.
No. I do.
Richie.
With a glove, perhaps.
I think I'm falling in love with you.
Hey, Richie, put your mama on the phone. I got this black coochie here.
Give me Klondike 5-6707, please.
Yeah, give me Hollycourt, 55377. Hello, it's Daddy. Hey, darling, put Mommy on the phone. Yeah, Barbara, it's Richie. Yeah, look, I ain't never coming home no more. Take it easy.
That pussy so good, made him leave home.
Take it easy.